Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we walk to the end of thy ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord. Speak, Lord. We'll move all the doubts and call the sun to shine and give a peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Speak. We need a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. Just one word from the Lord will move
Good Sunday afternoon. Welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program host. It is me again. This is Brenda K. Sanders. Well, I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast today. Thank you. I really appreciate the listening audience, and I don't take it for granted. This program is one of, I call it a motivational outreach. There are times when we walk and we have faith when we walk, but we don't see anything. And what I started this program for was to show that God is even faithful when we are seeing in that dark place when we can't see. I mean, we're looking to see, but we can't see. We don't see. God is still faithful. God is still moving. And so the heart of this program, the pulse, if you will, of this program is one of motivation. And I tell you all the time, when I talk to you, I'm talking to me. The preacher, I don't say I'm a preacher, but, you know, I have a minister's license just like, you know, some other ministers. But to you, I'm talking to me as well here. But motivationally, I am trying, if you're that person, if you're in that place, I'm talking to you. I really am. I'm talking to you because if you're in that place where you're walking with God, you may not even know God, and you still may not know what it is God is planning for your life. What footsteps are you to walk out this day? Then you need some help. God is providing that help. And you know what? I always say this. When you are feeling as though you don't see God, get up, get up. If you can't do anything but just move out of that couch you're sitting on or maybe in your bedroom, stand for a moment. Get out and look around. Look around because there's something that's waiting on you. And you may not see it. There's something that's waiting on you while you're feeling discouraged, while you're feeling negative. I think that sometimes we all get into negative thought processes. But God is waiting there to redeem you and to bring back, to restore your positivity, to restore your faith, to restore you to a place where you can continue to walk in the things of God. And, hello, be victorious. Be one that's going to overcome. Amen. Well, you know, before I get into my theme scripture, I just felt impressed to read this other scripture that came to me today. It's Proverbs 8:13, and this first scripture is from the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. The second one is from English Standard Version. It goes as this. It goes like this. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil and perverted speech. I hate. All right, the other version. This is the English Standard Version. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption, and perverse speech. Now, I'm saying that today because as a Christian, we will hate. Oh, no, the Christian does not hate. Oh, yes, the Christian does hate. Hate. We're going to hate sin. We're going to hate evil. And when evil is around or is apparent, then we hate it. Doesn't mean we don't love. Now, because I'll give the example, if you have a child, let me give this example. In fact, I've been thinking about it all week. My little dog, I'm always talking about my little dog. Well, he's like a child to me because, you know, I'm the only child I know. But he's so adorable. He's so adorable and a very smart little dog. But he did something the other day. In fact, he did it like 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row. He went to the bathroom in the house, even though he is house trained. And my sister and I were thinking, what in the world is he doing going to the bathroom in the house? We know that he's house trained. He's potty trained as a house trained. He knows how to go outside and go to the bathroom. He knows how to let you know. And I was thinking to myself, well, why would he do that? Well, anyway, I said nicely, don't do that again, little dog. And the next, don't do that again, little dog. And the next day, don't do that again, little dog, okay? Finally, my sister, he did it again. Finally, my sister spanked him. Not in the worst way. She just, you know, tapped him enough to know, look, this is not acceptable here. And then revert back, please, to your old way. Well, you know, sometimes to drive that message home that this is not what God wants, we have to hate. We have to hate. I mean, there's no other way to convey it. We have to hate. And God says that's how we show that we're fearing him, is when we hate evil. We hate evil things. We hate pride and arrogance and the evil and perverted speech. I hate. You say, well, oh, wow, you know, you're not showing love today. Well, maybe not today. I'll show it later probably. But right now I hate. I hate evil. And just using my little dog as an example, I mean, he got the message. Now, we've gone like, okay, now wait a minute. This may be the second day he hasn't gone to the bathroom in the house like, you know, as he was. Because he had a fear, a little hate here. He had to get the message that this is something's wrong with this. And by tapping him on a little behind here, he got the message, look, something ain't right. I must be moving in the wrong direction. And let me get back to where I was. Well, that's how it is. When the scripture says to hate, the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. If you are saved, born again, Christian, walking in the things of God, you're going to hate sometimes. You're not always going to love. You're going to hate sometimes. And when you hate, though, it's going to be a righteous hate of evil. And that's how you show that you love God, because you hate evil. I don't know. You know, it disturbs me when I see evil, and maybe, you know, I haven't been in a situation in a while, but, you know, I'm with my Christian friends, and you think it's okay. There's laughter or something like that. So that is showing the fear of the Lord. Now, let me go to my theme scripture for the program. It's 1 Corinthians 13:12. It's, for now we see only a reflection in a mirror, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Oh, hallelujah. Now I know in part, that I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Before we see God, we will see ourselves. I know that's right. Hello. We have to know what we look like when we meet God. I want God to tell me what I look like, and he convicts my spirit just like anyone else. And I will be the first on this program to say that I'm not perfect. And God convicts my spirit as well. And he should be convicting everyone's spirit when there's an area that you venture into that you should not be in. God will convict your spirit. And it doesn't take that much. You will know, I'm in an area here where I know I am not in the right place. And God will convict your spirit. He will touch your conscience, and you will move out of that place into a place where God has called you to. Amen. All right, and so we want to see God face to face. I say this every week. Thank God for that. I don't want God sending me an email. I don't want God sending me a text. I don't want God talking to me on Facebook. I want God to show up to me face to face. Hello, somebody. I mean that today. I want him to talk to me face to face. And that's the glorious and blessed thing about God. Through his spirit, he deals with us personally. I love that, because it's that personal touch that God gives to you and I, to let us know that he exists. I mean, that's the way he lets us know. He's right here, next to us, in our face, talking, speaking. Hello. Amen. Well, I could talk about that all day. Well, I'm back here today. I'm sorry I did not do the broadcast last week, but my message is still the same from last week, East of Bethel, when expectancy is tested. I talked about the cycle of patience, and man, it is such a cycle. I'm just looking at the scripture and thinking how expanded this cycle can be. Life for Abraham and Sarah, I mean, this was years and years. And how it can be when God has promised, when he has given you a particular word. How is it? You know, let me tell you something. In 1996, I went to New York. I went to a prophetic kind of conference, sort of like. And I was given this prophecy that I would be writing a book. I have had absolutely no interest in writing a book ever in life, especially since that prophecy. None. No interest until recently. And it's like when God gives a prophetic word, it has to marinate. It has to be developed. It has to be groomed for fulfillment and manifestation of fulfillment. God is good. He will bring it to pass. But there are cycles of patience. I mean, when you think you just it's not going to come to pass, God is going to do it. And here with Abraham and Sarah, he starts off in Genesis 12. I'm still here in Genesis 12. I can't get move out of it right now. Where he starts out, and I've read these scriptures before, verses 2 and 3, where God is talking about he's going to make Abraham a great nation. And let me say this, motivationally, I try not to get really, really deep in this. I know sometimes I think probably out there, oh, she's splitting hairs, I don't go into it really, really deep. I mean, I plan to at some point. But what I'm trying to get to is the exhortation point of this program is to see how God will give you a promise. And the next thing you know, you face a famine, thinking, what did I do wrong? I mean, your friends are telling you, you know what, you didn't budget. You didn't budget. You spent too much money. Or whatever they're telling you. You know, and you're thinking, well, wait a minute. I thought I took great care in doing this and doing that. Well, some things are just a process that we're going to go through. And, yeah, you can have all these teachings, and they're good. They're good. Let me tell you now, they're good on, financially sustaining yourself and looking in the Word. Some things God is going to cause to come into your life, and it's going to be for a reason, but he's going to be working out his perfect will in you. And when I look at these scriptures, I'm just amazed how I know my life, my spiritual walk has reflected some of these things. And that's why I'm telling you that the trials that we face, and I have the scripture here. I think I read it a couple of broadcasts ago, James chapter 1. But maybe I'll read it in a moment. But what I want to say is, Abraham started out with a promise. Now, have you received a promise from God in any way? Maybe a prophetic word, something God whispered to you, something that God said he's going to bless you with or something. And you say, wow, a lot of years have passed. A lot of time has passed, and it just looks worse and worse. It just looks like it's never going to come to pass. Well, then pay attention to his word, because it is informational. It is an exhortive word that's going to encourage you to continue to walk in faith with God. I am looking at today this word. I'm telling you, I looked at this promise that God gave Abraham in Genesis 12, 3, and then in verse 1, he tells him to get away from his kindred and his country and go to a land I will show thee. In verse 4, Abraham departed. You see, he was obedient. He was obedient to what God told him to do. He was a righteous man, and he wanted the blessings that God promised to him. And so he departed. Now, I know that sometimes in our carnality, we will think, and people who, maybe love God but don't have as many problems and troubles, they might think, oh, well, wow, you didn't manage yourself. Even though you obeyed God, you left. You didn't manage this. You didn't do that. But here is a famine. Bethel. Let me go down to verse 8. I'm skipping around. First verse 7, okay. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. What seed, God? I don't have any seed. He says, okay, unto thy seed I will give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He was being obedient. He didn't stand there and say, look, I don't have any seed. I thought I would get some seed by now, but I don't have any seed. But you said I would have seed, and I'm going to be obedient again. He built an altar unto the Lord and worshiped God. That was his offering. Amen. In verse 8, he says, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. I looked up Bethel. Bethel, that's why I say east of Bethel, when expectancy is tested. That's my, as I didn't say before, that's my title today. East of Bethel. Bethel means a place where God resides. It's a place where God is. And at Bethel, in verse 8, it says that he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west. So he had passed through. And Hion on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. I thought I read that he did that also in verse 7. Oh, his expectancy is high. I don't know if he's at. Expectancy is a strong belief. I believe he's just starting to believe the word of the Lord. I believe that at this point, he's just saying, okay, Lord, if you say so. But I believe, as I prove this point, that his belief is not that strong at this point. He's getting, his expectancy is being developed. And sometimes God has to develop our expectancy so that we can move closer to the promise. Starts out as a weak belief, or maybe no belief. You're just obeying God. Okay, you said it, I'm going to do it. My belief is not a factor at this point. I'm just obedient. And then God develops your expectancy. I mean, if you are believing that God is going to, say, give you a job, then you're going to start making preparations in your natural situations. And your expectancy is going to be developed. Maybe if you're believing God for a job, you're going to start looking for a job. You're going to start calling around. And see, and then if your expectancy is developed to a strong belief, then you're going to start calling those jobs. Like, listen, I'm qualified. I am believing for this job. And so, you know, they're different. I'm not trying to be really deep here, but I know what God is saying in this text here. He says, and there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. At this point, he's just blind faith right here. Blind faith. God says, I'm going to be the father of many nations, and in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. I don't see it right now, but I'm going to build these altars and praise the Lord. In verse 9, it says, and Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. He's leaving the place of Bethel, where God is saying these things, where he's believing God, where he's offering these altars and offerings of praise and sacrifice to the Lord. He's going. That's Bethel now. Now he's moving from Bethel, he's going down to the south, to Egypt. In verse 10, it says, and there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. First of all, there's this famine. It is just the opposite of what I believe he's expecting. There's trouble. There's lack. There is something to test his belief at this point. I'm not going to say it was strong, but I'm going to say it was small or weak at this point. Because in verse 11 he says, and it came to that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they shall kill me, and they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, this is verse 13, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. Verse 15, the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. 16, and he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels, and the Lord, this verse 17, plagued Pharaoh and his house with also great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. What I want to get to is this. I believe right there, and I'm just going to philosophize a little bit right here. I believe that Abram, this famine was so grievous that caused Abram to like kind of cup on his faith in God right there. He gave Sarah away in a way because he wanted to call her his sister. She actually entered into Pharaoh's house. How about if Pharaoh decided to keep the woman? And I think he was. And I believe Abram's faith fell right then. He said, wait a minute. This woman is older. Is old. I'm old. How am I going to be, blessed with a family with this woman? So he goes and tells her, look, say you're my sister when you go into Egypt. He gives her this reason. And God has to supernaturally, don't tell me God will not supernaturally enter a situation. He has to supernaturally tell this man, look, tell Pharaoh, look, this is not right. Something's wrong here. Give up this woman. Because you know what? God said it's going to be through this woman right here. This woman. And so, if you're out there and God gave you a promise, he told you who, he told you where, he told you what, you're going to get it done. It's going to happen no matter what. You may be tempted to tempt God and do something other than what God has told you. Well, you're going to fail until God's plan comes to pass. I mean, God could have ended that thing right there and said, Abram, you messed up. You gave your wife away, man. You gave her away. I just told you you're going to have this family. You're going to have all the families on earth are going to be blessed through you and Sarah. And you gave her away. Okay. You disobeyed, or maybe in a moment. Now, that is my point where I prove to you that his faith or that he totally did not have any faith in what God had said. And I believe that it was the famine, see, that tarnished his ability to have a strong belief, which is expectancy. Expectancy can be tested. It can be weakened from strong belief to no belief. And immediately as he journeyed past this point of Bethel, which is the place where God resides, this is the place where you're praising God, you're believing God, your faith is really strong, and then you have to journey some more until you see fulfillment, and then your expectancy is tested with another trial, with another test, with another negative event, and then you have to be redeemed or restored to you. Your expectancy has to be restored or further built up. But anyway, God plagued Pharaoh's house to the degree where in verse 18, Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why didst thou, she is my sister, so might have taken her. Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now, therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. I know that God has a plan for all of you and me, and it's going to come to pass. I don't believe anyone is going to be able to escape God's plan. It's God's plan. And at some point, when we are shaken, when our beliefs are weakened, which is, leading to our expectancy, God can restore our expectancy in this cycle of patience. He can restore it. He can undergird it. And he can strengthen our expectancy. Here I have to end here, but at the beginning of chapter 13 of Genesis, he says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him." And in verse 2, "And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold." See, there God is restoring him, undergirding him, causing him to have more belief, where he's going to get to that point where he's going to have full expectancy that God is able to fulfill every promise. Everything that he said is going to come to pass. Amen. So that is what I wanted to talk about in this patience cycle, this phase of expectancy. I know that as I go through and navigate these chapters and verses, it's going to show up again. But in this first cycle, I just want to show how it is that God fulfills his word. It's some testing that is involved. And what I want to say is if you're that person today, then know that God is going to restore your faith. He's going to restore your belief in what he has said. He's going to do it. Allow him to do it. Allow him to build up your expectancy, because there's some more things in this cycle of patience that you have to endure before you see the fulfillment of the promise. Well, that is all I have to say today. I'm going to continue the rest next week. I would like to thank you again for listening to this program once again. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/BrendaKC Anders to listen to an archive broadcast of this episode. If you desire to make a comment, ask a question, or request desired prayer, please email me at seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. No matter what it is, now you can feel free to request prayer. Thanks again for listening, and have a very, very blessed week.
with